Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Kyler Davenport on Alternative Public Radio International. Good to have you all with us tonight. We are streaming live on Blog Talk Radio, simulcasting tonight. The audio quality is really kick-ass on this station. I tell you, we are up 24 hours now, and we've got some great talk. We've got some great news. And it's not mainstream news. It's alternative news, the only way we would have it. And there is a lot of alternative news going on, I'll tell you. This situation in Burns, Oregon, has really been interesting to watch over the last few days. I've been very, very intensely interested in what's going on there in Burns. That was a very strange situation that just popped up all of a sudden when these ranchers decided to occupy this refuge there in Burns in Harney County. And as many of you know, that Mr. LaVoy got killed out there, terrible situation out there, and the final occupier came out yesterday or this morning. I'm all mixed up here. This morning, yeah, came out without killing himself or shooting anyone else. And the FBI followed through with their promise to be good to him and get him out of there safe and sound. Now, we don't know what's going to happen to him once he gets downtown to be booked, but he was definitely afraid of going to prison for 20, 25 years, whatever it is, 6 years, depending on how many charges they put on him. But I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. And I'm just wondering where all the patriots are. I'm wondering where all of the militia is. I'm wondering where everybody went, left town. Was it the FBI running people out of town? We're hearing now that Burns is under martial law. We're hearing now that people are being stopped on the side of the road and their cars searched and using biometrics and drones, possibly armed drones there in Burns. The whole town is surrounded inside out with not only FBI agents, but foreign agents, special ops groups, black ops groups. Don't know what they were expecting. We don't have the inside story as deep as I would like to go with why there was so much force used out there, when I think a sheriff and 10 deputies could have handled the whole thing, didn't need to get the feds involved, even though it was on federal property. That's probably why the feds came in, and that's what this all started over in the first place, is the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, the Park Service, and fisheries and all of that out there aren't supposed to be owning 53% of Oregon. So that was what this was all about, is the ranchers signing these contracts to allow the government to come in and help them and give them grazing rights help them build fences and dig water wells and all these kinds of things. So it's been a very interesting week looking at this Burns, Oregon situation, and I hope that it doesn't happen again, although it could. It very well could. Last time I looked at my radar, I saw over 100 advocates that I know of headed toward Burns, so we'll see how that goes. Whether something else will be occupied or not, we do not really know if something else is going to be occupied there, another federal building.
Hello,
Billy, are you there? Hey, Billy, are you there? Hey, Billy Grimer, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you, Kyler?
Pretty good. How are you doing, bud?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all, my friend.
Well, I'm glad you got to come on tonight. I haven't heard from you in a while. Ed's supposed to be here pretty soon. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably eating dinner or something. But how have you been doing, man?
I've been very busy writing and trying to, you know, keep my music going and happening. You know, we just finished rehearsing. That's why I couldn't get to you earlier.
Yeah, what are you working on now?
Show set up and also working on my fourth album.
Wow.
So, you know, all that and trying to promote the band at the same time, it's a lot to put on, you know, and working on videos. It's a never-ending thing. But the reason we do this is because we love it, right?
Yeah.
You know, we never get tired of it. You know, we just want it more and more and more. So, you know, and then having, you know, guys like you promoting my stuff and liking my music and having me on your show, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, well, we're going to be, you know, we're 24 hours now. We've pumped it up a little bit. We're 24 hours now. And we've got news and music and indie artists. And I was going to tell everyone tonight, I want to run all of your music in the station. Ed Roman sent me 3 CDs. I think he's getting ready to send me another one. We're running him in the 24-hour station, and we want to run all of your music in the 24-hour station. Of course, we have to have permission from you to do that, and you have to send me something so I can turn it into an MP3 and run it in the station 24 hours.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you can do is send me the info on that way I don't lose the damn thing.
Yeah.
I'm actually just making dinner at the same time. But I'll tell you what, you can send me the address or I can mail you some CDs, no problem. Just tell me where.
Oh, yeah, I'll put it in PM on Facebook and get it to you that way, and that way we can start playing your music and Ed's music. Y'all are the first two indie artists on the station. We're going to be looking for other folks out there. You know, I interviewed a lot of people from MTS and Core PR, and we're going to go back through that list and start interviewing the musicians again. That's going to be a lot of fun. What do you think about, did you hear about what happened here in Oregon with Burns, Oregon going on, or did you not hear about that?
No. Pull me in.
Well, it was just, you know, some folks, some occupiers took over the refuge here in Burns, Oregon. They're protesting the government owning land here in Oregon. You know, Oregon is owned, the government owns 53% of the land in Oregon. They own a major percentage of land all over the United States in every state, and they call it Bureau of Land Management, but yet what they're doing is they're trying to force all the ranchers off their land, trying to get rid of all the ranchers and run them out of business so they can mine for uranium and ship it all to Russia through the Clinton Foundation. And so the ranchers were standing up and they occupied a refuge out there in Oregon, and there's been a standoff for the last couple of weeks out there with the FBI surrounding the town and all of these occupiers inside. The last one gave himself up this morning, came out, was going to kill himself, but they talked him out of it. And so It's been a very tense situation here in the Northwest for us over the last couple of weeks dealing with this occupy of this federal refuge.
It's all about money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about these miners, you know, Russian companies and foreign companies wanting to come in here and mine all of the precious resources out of the ground. That's Denise Anderton. Don't answer that. It's all of these miners wanting to come in and take all of the precious resources and get rid of the ranchers who have been here for years and years and years and raised multiple generations of family members here. So the government wants to come and own and control everything, you know?
Yeah, and if the government can protect you, who can, right? True.
Yeah. It's horrible here. It's getting worse and worse every single day here. It's getting worse and worse every single day. I don't know what we're going to do if the government keeps invading our space. I just don't know what we're going to do if the government keeps this up. They're buying everything. They're selling everything to foreign entities, and they're making deals with rogue countries. And like I said, our economic situation here in the U.S. is terrible. Our fiat currency, our dollar, is worth absolutely nothing. We're over $500 trillion in total derivative fractional banking debt. And I don't know how much longer we can survive here without completely crashing in. I think it's about time that we have a major economic collapse, a full economic collapse, if not a total revolution.
It's craziness. It's crazy. The government is so damn powerful. You know, and the farmer is sitting there trying to protect his land, and it's not easy. We have issues here, same thing in Canada. I mean, not like that. I mean, this is American government is very powerful. You know, but at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Yeah, it is all about the money, and it's always been about the money, even before 1774. When the colonists came together and our forefathers put together this Constitution of the United States of America and the Declaration of Independence and the preamble, it's always been about the money. Even back when the colonists were fighting the British, it was all about the money, and it's still about the money. All these wars have been about the money. Every war that's ever been fought since 1776 was started by the banksters and funded by the banksters and controlled by the banksters. There was never any terrorist here in the United States to speak of. There's never been any real threat of terror here in the U.S. or in Canada, to tell you the truth.
Well,
you know,
there's a lot of things that the public doesn't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Canada, how are people in Canada? Are they very awake to all of these different situations, all of these different conspiracies and things?
Yeah, we have our own issues in here, too, you know. I hate to say it, but I hate politics because there's so much that we're not told, and it seems like no matter what we do anyway, we always seem to be out of reach. You know, we try and get the message across. I think politics here in North America are a lot different than Europe. I find that in Europe, the government... The people have a say. The way I strongly believe that it's not the same here, North America, at least to my experience, to my knowledge. Politics are huge in Europe. Like it's huge. You know, the public speaks out.
Yeah.
And I think the government seems to listen.
Well, people there. people there also march in the streets and they revolt, and we don't do that here to any great degree.
That's right. You know what? I've experienced that, actually.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying that. Yeah, so, you know, we come to vote, and you sit there and think, is this guy going to do the same thing as the last guy did? You know, just the way things are. But like you said, in Europe, and like I said, you know, people take action. They make the government listen and make the government aware that they disagree with certain things he's doing. And you know, just the way things are. That's how I see it.
Yeah, You know, and people here, Billy, people here have been brainwashed and they've been drugged with pharmaceuticals, and we have the chemtrails overhead dropping all the poison on us every day. They've poisoned our land, they've poisoned our water, they've poisoned our food with GMOs and toxins and chemicals and additives, and it's really bad here in the U.S. People are very sick here in the U.S. They're very sickly, they're very passive, and they're very much asleep, and they just don't have the energy to get up and fight this big fight that we're up against.
Yeah, I just think that's it. People get tired, you know, and I think people tend to give up, too, because of the fact that, you know, they've tried and they've tried and they've tried, and they get the sense of fighting a losing battle at times, maybe. It's not easy, you know. I honestly believe, and I hate politics because of the fact that of all that, you know, poor man, the middle class man is, you know, is living from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
What influences your music when you're writing, Billy? What is it that influences you the most when you're writing, and what kind of mood do you have to be in, and where do you like to write?
I like to write at nighttime. I like to write when it's peace in the house. It's just me and my dog. And I like to write about reality, basically, at least to my, you know, things I can feel.
Yeah.
If it's something I can't relate to, it's very hard for me to write it. So I always tend to try and put myself in that story that I'm writing, because I think a song is a story. But if I can't put myself in that little song, it's very hard for me to finish. So I usually, if I can't feel it, I just put it away and come back to it later, maybe. But I like to kind of try and write stuff that I can relate to.
Where all have you been, Billy, since you were last on last year? Where all have you been, and what all have you been doing, and how has your life changed since then?
I've been doing a lot of stuff in the studio. The band is the band's been playing in town. I've gone down to Nashville, and I've also won an award up in Atlanta, the IMA Award. Which was great.
Yeah.
I would love to come out to the U.S. and do some shows, actually, like even on radio, live radio shows. It would be fantastic, I think. It's like something I'd love to experience.
Well, you know, if you ever come here, you'll be on the air live with us, and if you ever do anything here in the Northwest, I'll bring a camera crew, and we'll cover it and get an exclusive backstage with you, you know.
That would be great. You know, we got to sit down and talk a little more. That would be fantastic, because, you know, that's something that I'd like to do. But this, at the same time, you know, there's so much going on here in my personal life at the same time. So I'm trying to, juggle everything at one time, you know. But as for my music, it's been, like I said, I'm working on my fourth album. It's been fantastic. Michael Stover's done a great job for me. You know, and it's great to have been dealing with him. He opened all our doors for me. But now, at the same time, I'm working on my new videos, and I want to get my music out there even more. So,
Billy, tell me about the music videos. Tell me, everybody wants to hear about that. How is that going into a raw music video and working with the producer and working with the director and dealing with the music and the audio and the technical and you coming in and playing and how are you mic'd up? And people want to know about that. They really are interested.
I work with a whole bunch of friends of mine that's been helping me out. So I have Gregory D'Souza. He's my producer and engineer. And we sit down, he listens to my story, what I have in mind. We write it all out. It takes planning. He's very patient. And the thing is, it makes this, the video or anything that you deal with, like even my recordings, a lot easier when the people that you're dealing with understand who you are, what you're all about. Because, and they see your vision. If they can't see your vision, then you might as well call it quit. But the guys I work with has been great. You know, somebody says to me, you want to try something different with somebody new? My theory is when something's not broken, don't try and fix it.
Right.
Yeah, so I like dealing with the guys I'm dealing with. And like I said, they've known me now, and they understand me. And we just put it together, and they go all out, you know. Whatever we need, they get it. We got the song Sugar and Cream. We just did the video for it. There's a few hiccups that we got to get over so I can get it out there. It took hours and hours and hours and hours, you know, a few weeks actually to get it all together. It's finally done. But now we got to get it approved by certain people. So,
are you funding all of this, or do you have some sponsors now?
I'm looking for sponsors actually. Right now, I've been funding it, and my friends have been putting in their own time, and I'm very grateful. But right now, I am looking for sponsors. Yeah.
How do you go about reaching out for sponsors?
Well, I've been sending letters and doing presentations. Now we're just hoping to hear back. We do a lot of fundraisers to show people that we're all about too. Because I'm a big supporter for cancer. Cancer runs through my family. When it comes to instruments we use, we try to approach people like Fender. Or Gibson. I'm also thinking about approaching World Vision because we do work and try to raise money for World Vision or underprivileged children. So that's the road I kind of take to get a sponsor.
Yeah, well, don't forget about us in the long run when you become the big megastar. Don't forget about us because we have charities and we work with the mentally ill and we work with the senior citizens who are abused in the nursing homes. We have an advocacy team, an outreach team. We do critical outreach. We have a disaster response team where we teach cardiopulmonary resuscitation. We teach people how to start IVs and do intermittent positive pressure airway ventilation in emergencies and disasters. We're into a lot of different things that are real grassroots, on the ground, frontline critical outreach, Billy.
Well, I'll tell you what, all I needed to get a phone call from me telling me, Billy, this is what we're doing a fundraiser. Can you come out? And you know, that's all it takes. If I can get there, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm a very simple man. I've had my share of pain. Like I've been sick. I've had my share. But I like giving back. So if you want to raise money for something, I'd love to be part of it.
Giving back is so important, and you bring up cancer, and I have to say cancer was cured many, many, many years ago. It's really a shame that Big Pharma has taken over, and of course, you know, I do a lot of undercover work, and I do a lot of investigative journalism for years, and it's a shame that they've done what they've done to the American people and to the Canadian people and people all over the world. It's a dirty, dirty shame that they've kept that copyright a secret, top secret, and not allowed it to come out, all of the cures for cancer that there are. It's really a tragedy that we, the American people, have allowed the big pharmaceutical companies to continue this scam and this sham, charging people $10,000 per shot and all of this other crap that they're doing. You know, we need to get them and put them on the hot seat and make them cough up the cure, is what I call it, cough up the cure, you know, because they've got it.
Hey, Kyler. Like I said earlier, it's about money, isn't it?
There we go. You know, yeah, it's all about the money, and it really pisses me off that we let money stand in the way of humanity. We let money stand in the way of our heart and our soul and our true natural mind, and that we allow this tyrannical government to do what they are doing to the people. And that's why I'm here on air almost every night talking about this and trying to wake people up so that they will have the self-empowerment to fight, and they will have the will to fight, and they will have the will to stand up against this banking cartel. And it's time that we stand, Canadians and Americans and the Mexicans, all of us, north to south, the deep south. It's time that we stand up and take back this republic.
Yeah, and you know, the public needs guidance. You know, most of us, like I said, most middle class, I think we all need guidance, because when it comes to having, sometimes people get so damn tired of fighting and fighting and fighting, you know, and it all comes down to money. Living from paycheck to paycheck, or just borderline making it, and people get tired because, you know, most people here have a full-time job and a part-time job.
Yeah.
And you know, when it comes to fighting, people get so damn tired. It's just like, you know, it becomes a routine. And so they need somebody to. They need somebody, a public figure, that will say, you know, I'm going to help you guys, and they need guidance.
Yeah.
That's how I see it anyway. You know, there's probably people listening right now that might disagree with me, but that's how I see it.
No, Billy, a lot of people agree with you. A lot of people agree with you. Millions of people agree with you. And people do need a frontline soldier. They need someone to follow. They need someone to stand beside. They need someone to motivate them. They need someone to teach them and educate them and help them, to empower them to understand this very, very complex society that we have birthed, this evolution and devolution. I call it evolution and devolution both. We are living in some very, very dangerous times right now, and I don't think the average person realizes just how dangerous all of this really is, and just how upset we should all be about it. I don't think people fully comprehend, and I wonder why people don't fully get it. You know, I wonder if it's the GMOs, is it the toxins in the food, the additives in the food, is it the chemtrails spraying down the poisons from the air on our heads? Is it pharmaceuticals? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Or is it all of the above? I think it's all of the above, along with the mainstream media filling people full of lies and propaganda.
You're right there. I think I'm right behind you there. there's only so much, you know, a guy like me, a guy like you, you know, we're just a working man, and there's only so much we can do. Like I say, it's running from one job to the next,
to
pay.
People don't, you're right, Billy. People don't have time to do what I do. They don't have time to be on the front line. They don't have time for revolution. They're busy trying to pay their gas bill, water bill, light bill, their insurance for their vehicle. They're too busy taking care of their children and raising their children and dealing with personal matters with family and extended family and friends. And they just simply do not have the time to overthrow this tyrannical government that we have spawned.
Well, you hit it on the nail. You hit it on the head. That's how I see it. And you go to work and you hear the same story all the time. There's guys working 7 days a week just to earn, to pay their bills, and they can't keep up.
So yeah.
It's all about money. And I hate money. Because, you know, we seem to put that, the way you gotta live is you can't have money love, money run your life. You have to have control of your life. And that's very, it's very hard to do when you can't keep up with your bills. So.
Well, you're a struggling musician. You know what it's like to struggle. You know what it's like to suffer. You know what it's like to work hard for what you love to do. What would you tell struggling musicians out there who are living from couch to couch and hopping motel to motel and depressed and strung out and worried about making that next gig, and they want to give up, but they've got the talent? What would you tell them to do? How would you advise them?
Well, if I was doing it for the money, I might as well just give it up right now. The first thing that comes up is you do it because you love it. And it just becomes part of you. Like, you know, if you took that away from me, it's like I got no pulse left. How it is, starving musicians, you've heard that term, starving musicians.
Yeah.
They're all over. I think you do it because you love it. If you try to do it for a living, there's a million other people to kind of do the same thing, because there's a lot of artistic people out there that haven't been discovered. It's sometimes it's being in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, having to be on your show and, you know, you lucky, I remember when I did the first interview with you and you were playing Calendar Girl, you know, that made my, that to me was like a dream come true, because here's my song being played and there's, you know, hundreds and thousands of people, millions of people listening to it. I've had people from Australia listen to the same song. You know, that for me, because I'm a writer and a singer and a performer, but that to me is my dream. Now, if I can get crazy with it, right, maybe get a publishing deal, that would be my dream come true at the same time, because that would be something I'd love to do. I cannot sit at home and write music and live on that. Right now, I can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so I go out and play, promote my band. You know, sometimes I have to get a side job to pay my certain bills, which is the way things are. But
yeah, I remember when we used to set up for $50 a night. I thought I was rich back then. You know, I'd set up my drums for $50 a night or play my guitar for $50 a night, and that was like a big deal back when, you know. And now that's just like you could barely get a musician to get out of the car for $50.
That's right. You better, if you're doing it, you better do it. First of all, you better do it because you're loving it.
I know cover bands that want $5,000, you know, for a gig, you know. $10,000 for a gig. I know a band that's a pretty good band, blues band. I think they're 8-piece. And, you know, he wants $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to do a fundraiser. I don't know.
That's all the power to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but to me, that's doing covers. To me, you know, having my music that I write being heard, to me, is a lot more rewarding for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, When I was younger, I used to do a lot of covers, and I did the Freddie Mercury tribute. But nothing tops doing originals. I've always done originals since I was a kid. You know, I've always wanted to. So, like me trying to learn a song, a cover song on guitar. To me, I find that a waste of time. For me,
yeah.
I'm only speaking from. I find that I'll sing a cover, but to sit there and try and lift it out and, you know, try and learn the guitar parts, for me, that I find that a waste of time because I'm a singer. But I'm also a writer, so I'd rather be putting my talent when it comes to guitar just by writing something. You know, we just had rehearsal tonight, actually, when you called me earlier, when we touched base earlier, and I was rehearsing so I couldn't get back to you sooner. Yeah, we rehearsed for 3 hours, and we did some covers, you know, we did the originals. But just to mix it up and have fun at the same time.
I saw Ozzy Osbourne doing a piece earlier that was just a knockout piece, man. I mean, I could not believe this song Ozzy did. I'm looking for it right now, so I know you'll know the song. But I didn't even know Ozzy was standing up straight, man. But I don't know what date this was, but he was working with some female guitar player, and they were singing this song, and, man, he was so putting his love into it. You know how he does his hands and his body? I don't know if you've ever seen Ozzy do it, but he jerks a lot. He has Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And you can just tell, man, that Ozzy loves his work, don't you think so?
He's got a lot of talent, you know. There's a lot more to the image, you know, that he carries.
There's a he's a mysterious kind of character, isn't he?
Yeah, I absolutely. But you know, it's amazing what you can see out there. Like, there's a lot of people that don't know much. They know what's on the outside of Ozzy. You know, he has great musicians with him. The guitar player,
I can't either.
Like, my guitar player is a big fan of his of Ozzy's guitar player. I can't remember his name, though. Damn it. But yeah, it's. Yeah, so, you know, there's an image out there, but behind that image, then there's the real Ozzy, too, right?
Yeah. What are you trying to do as far as form any kind of image at all, or are you just Billy Grima?
I just like to be me. You know, my attitude is, you know, I like to be me. I'm a simple man, and I like my hat. But that's just me. You know, my long hair is gone. I used to have long, tippy hair, but that's all gone. My thing is just me. I like to be Billy Grima, and that's it.
I like your hat, too. It makes you kind of look both Aussie and country and Canadian all together.
Yeah, I love wearing hats. I've been wearing hats all my life. Especially because when I was younger, too, I was sick. I did a few operations on my head. So I think maybe that's where I got my hat from, but I love wearing hats. So, I like my hat. And I cannot find the identical hat anywhere. I've looked for it in Nashville. I took it from the band hat. So we shall see.
You can't find another hat like that one, huh?
Not at that one, no.
Wow, man.
I do like my hat, though, I must say.
Well, that's cool, man. That's cool. Tell me a little bit more about the videos. Everybody's asking, do you sing the songs in the videos, or do you lip the songs in the videos? And if not, how do you mic up? With a lav mic or some other overhead boom mic, or do you use all of those?
Actually, We do mostly what we do is we try to do them live. At times there is some that are not are sunk in with the band when we play live to the board.
Yeah.
But we try to do as much as we can live. It can't always be live, realistically.
Yeah, if you're walking down a country road and there's cows on both sides of you and you're walking up the road, kind of skipping up the road singing, that's a little difficult to do live, isn't it?
That's right. So when we do stuff like in the backyard, sometimes we try, but it's depending on where you are. Cause when we play live, we kind of have everything going through the board. But you also have to be good at what you're doing there too, right? Some things run through, some backup vocals might not be. We have to do is like pre-recorded kind of thing,
right?
Sync CD, because I mean you can't do all those backup vocals like that, right? Like say so you're gonna get a studio version or you're gonna get a live version, whichever.
So, Billy, are you like singing to yourself? I've always wondered this. I've only done a couple of live videos, and I was on the technical inside the booth. Do you sing to yourself? Do you find yourself singing to yourself, kind of like you were in the shower, lipping the words, or do you just lip the words and not make any sounds whatsoever?
No, I have to sing to myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I I'm not lip syncing. I have to sing it out loud, and I have to time it with the song, because if you're singing to the CD or you're singing to a soundtrack, no lip syncing. I'll sing out loud and I'll sing with the CD. So like if you're walking down the street, you have the stereo blasting. I'll be singing with it. To sync it in together.
So you wouldn't have an earpiece in that you could sing with?
No, not me. I like to hear it loud.
Really?
So what I do is I have the stereo on loud, and if have it playing in the stereo in the back of the car or truck, whatever we're recording it. And then
the audio technician takes the audio technician takes that. And does the final cut out of all that stuff?
Yeah, he's good at it. But that's how we do it. We earpiece. I don't wear earpieces.
You can pull them up over there.
Anyway.
You know, a lot of the musicians now are using the earpieces everywhere I look. And even the churches. I'm seeing people at the churches using the earpieces. And, of course, what about auto-tune? What about auto-tune? Do you use that?
I'm not very techy, so I'm not sure what my guy uses. Only says auto-tune. But I'm not into earpieces. I've never used one. I don't know if I will. I've never used one yet so far.
You ought to try it at least once. It's kind of a kicker. I've done it. It's kind of a kicker.
Yeah?
Kind of interesting. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Kind of gives you a real good sync as to where you're at. And it cuts out the distance and the noise between the point of origin of the music you're listening to and your ear. So it kind of brings it into more clarity into your head. And so you might want to try the earpiece once or twice and just see how you like it.
I have to bring it up to Gregory and see what he has to say. Yeah. Now, usually what we do is we have the CD playing. Depending where we are, if we're at a bar, we'll have it going through the sound system. If we're in the truck or walking on the side road, we can probably have it in a truck stereo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've never worn an earpiece. Like I said, I've never worn one yet. And so I can't tell you what it would be like. I have no idea.
We used to use a lot of junk whenever we did videos, man. We could make some stuff, man. I remember one time we made a harness to hang on to the side of a pickup where I could film the passenger. I was hanging out on the side in a and made a big baby, kind of a baby carrier. And I was hanging off the rearview mirror, and I was hooked into the back seat, and I was sitting in a cradle with my DVC Pro shooting right through the side window while they were going 60 miles an hour. And here I am hanging out of the window, man, with a baby cradle.
Things we do for love, eh?
Yeah, man. We got to do what we got to do when we don't have money, you know. You've got to make stuff. You got to build stuff like a track dolly. You know, you got to build. Sometimes you got to build your own dollies and stuff. We've done that. We've used little red wagons before to pull cameras in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I'm pretty lucky. I have a whole bunch of nice people surrounded by nice people that believe in me.
Yeah.
And they've put in so much of their time. And they don't take a penny from me. And I'm very grateful to them because I Gregory D'Souza is the guy that does my videos, and I had not seen him I was in the church choir. I still am. And I had met him probably 30 years ago. He got me in the church choir. He retired principal, but he likes taking videos and stuff. So I bumped into him, I think, 3 years ago at a party, at a wedding, actually.
Yeah.
After not for so many years, and he said, "But are you still writing?" I said, "Yeah." Did you hear my new album? And he heard it, and he says to me, he was telling me, he says, "I'm doing videos." He goes, "Let me hear your CD." So he took it home with him, and he said, "Billy, I want to do your videos."
Wow.
And, yeah. So.
Wow.
He took a lot of his time. He donated his time and his experience, and I'm so grateful to the man, because, you know, I think having a video is, it can help you a lot, especially because you're getting music out there, right? So you got your YouTube, you got your radio shows, so, you know, if Carter Davenport tells his listeners, say, listen, check Billy Green out, and go to YouTube to check out his video. You know, people can see the video, they can hear the song, and they will understand, you know, the story behind the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the way we have it set up is they get to listen to the show. It's all connected together, so they can hear Billy Grima, and they can see Billy Grima, and they can hear Billy Grima. And it makes a lot of difference, like you said a while ago. It makes it much more personal for them when they can see and feel and touch you and feel like they know you, you know?
Yeah. So things happen for a reason, they say. You know, I believe it a lot more than I ever have in the past 2 years. Just bumping into Gregory after not seeing him for 20 years or so, had to happen, you know, and he's done, he's done a great job, and I have a lot of respect for him. He's a great musician too.
How is your family life going, Billy?
It's okay. It's good. I mean, you know, my wife, we separated 3 years ago, so it's been a little rough. But you know, we're good together. We're good friends. We have three beautiful children. But you know, it's kind of stepping back on the wagon and trying to rebuild your life, you know.
I'm so glad to hear that you all are still friends, because I talk to so many couples who hate each other after they have separated. They talk about each other and they slander each other and they dog each other out. And I just tell them, you know what? Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, they do it around the kids too, you know. And I say, don't bring the kids into this. Y'all get along. Just get along.
Yeah, I think the ones that suffer are the kids, but it's sad. It's, you know, it's I don't want to say this on the air, but maybe, you know, family values are not the same. They've changed.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad. Yeah. But
People are not trained today how to have relationships. We went on the air the other night and we talked about this for a couple of hours about how people have not been trained. They've not been taught. They've not been educated. They've not been initiated into the tribe. They haven't been bonded into the tribe of how to treat a woman, or how does a woman treat a man, or how do they treat each other, and what is this position that you're in when you have a relationship? What all is going to happen to you? What all kinds of things are you going to be facing, and what kind of attitude do you need to have? What kind of temperament do you need to have? You need to be intuitive, and you need to be discerning, and all of those things.
The money, you know, the money issue comes up again. I think because of the fact, I think that life is so changed, and life, people seem to need a lot more, and want a lot more, or because they cannot, you know, there's so many bills to pay. So you get your father working, mother's working, you know, sometimes they have two jobs. They can hardly see each other, and then there's financial stress. There's the kid needs.
But don't forget, Billy. Don't forget, many women are spoiled rotten, and many women are not country girls, and many women want too much. Then many women push men so far to buy this and to buy that and to purchase this and rent that and lease this and get into this contract and that contract, and before you know it, you're $40,000, $50,000, $80,000, $60,000, $160,000 in debt, and your credit cards are run up, and then you're going to start having difficulties, then you're going to start having problems and fights, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. And then you have the men that can't keep money in their pocket, the men that go out and blow money, and the women are sit at home working two jobs while the man's out gambling or drinking or whatever. So you have a lot of dysfunction going on in our society too, I think.
I think so too. You know, it's but I tell you, having people working all the time, I think that takes away from hard to survive, or you know, they're constantly struggling for money. And that puts a hell of a burden on, I think, on a marriage.
Well, you know, if we still lived in a village, Billy, if we still could live in little villages and the extended family were there with us, and the mama and the papa and grandpa and grandma and uncles and aunts and cousins and nieces and nephews were all around to help take care of us and each other, I think we would live in a much better society. I read an article today. I'm going to send it to you tonight. I read an article today about how we have become a psychotic society. We have become a psychotic society because we're driven, we're coerced, we're pushed, we're manipulated to go out and be a slave to the machine and to work for money to pay the government, to give all of the government our money. And they call it a tax refund, and we're heavily taxed, and we have so many laws and statutes and ordinances to follow. Walk this line, walk that line, stand in this line, stand in that line, get up, get down, move over. This article said that human beings were not capable. We're not built this way. We're not built this way. We're built to live free and natural upon the land. We're not built for this machine.
That's what we are. That's what we've become, I think. Looks like we're like machines, you know. Go, 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 go. The way we live. I think as long as you try and get a control over your life and you run your life and not have life run you, like, you know, you want to work and you want to be able to say to yourself, you know, I have control of my life. that's what you need to have, I think, to survive. And having control of your life is a good thing, but having life control you is a whole different story.
Yeah, but it's so hard to live your life without the cash in the old pocket.
You got that right. Yeah. I live in the country. I love living in the country. I like that better, but that's me. I don't like the rat race so much. Sometimes you can do what less, you know. You don't need to have, your neighbor has a brand new front door. You don't have to run out and get yourself a new front door either. I mean, it's just, sometimes you have to be content with what you got. I think that's number one.
Well, you know me, I live off the grid up here in the mountains of the Northwest, and I just thank God I have an electric pole to plug into, and I thank God I have a propane tank to run my heater on. I'm in a little 26-foot RV, and it serves me well. It doesn't leak, and it keeps me warm in the winter and cool in the spring and summer. And I'm really blessed to have this home. And I have homeless people outside living here with me, and they have no home. They have to sleep on the ground rolled up in a blanket with a tarp over them. We work with these people, and we find them and we bring them in here, and we slowly get them an apartment. We work with them and help them to get an apartment. They transition from rolled up out here in a blanket and a tarp on our cold-ass ground complex. And that's the only place I can put them, is in a cold-ass ground with a tarp and a blanket, a cold blanket around them, because there's no place here for them. There's no place here for them.
Oh. Not easy.
Well, no.
We have the same thing here, you know. It's not easy. You gotta survive.
Do you have a lot of homeless people? You have a lot of homeless people there?
It's getting worse. Never used to see people. Now we get people at the ramps of the highways. You know, asking for money.
Yeah.
You didn't see that 4 years ago. 5 years ago. But now you see them all the time. So it's sad to see.
Yeah, we have them standing on every corner here with a sign.
Yeah. So we get them now at the ramp of the highway. So when you get on the highway, you're going to get right on the ramp, and they're standing there. You know, they're standing there in the freezing cold, you know?
Yeah.
And then, It's not a pretty sight, you know. I feel bad.
Well, I just got the guys and girls a tent. Somebody donated a big tent, so I got it set up, and they're in that tent now. They're warm, and got them a propane heater to put in the tent, and they're much warmer. One of our guys has a brain injury, and so we're helping him to get an apartment. And then we've got a couple of other people we're working with, trying to help them get an apartment. We only work with certain people. We don't work with the hardcore drug addicts. I can't handle that.
I wouldn't know where to start with that. I'm not experienced in that field, or, you know, I wouldn't know how to deal with it. So I think it's with someone like that, you need somebody that's probably into dealing with things like that all the time.
Heroin is eating us up here. Heroin is eating us alive in this area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not cocaine, not ecstasy, not crack, but heroin is eating us alive. I don't know what we're going to do to get rid of the heroin out of this county. It's just everywhere. Yeah. What's your... What's your main drug up there for these homeless people? Is it heroin or is it cocaine or is it crack?
I wouldn't even know, to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. It's not as bad here, I don't think. I hope not.
You know, they just made marijuana legal here, and now we've got a marijuana store opening up on every corner, and the government started taxing it a couple of 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. So now the government's money. They finally made legal marijuana legal, and now the government's got their big hands sticking in there, taking out a big chunk of that.
I think they tried to legalize it here, and I think it might go through. I'm not 100% sure. But I know that was part of the, that was something that was in the election.
Yeah.
But it hasn't surfaced much. I haven't heard much about it yet. I think they passed it, but now they're saying, no, it's not legal. So I'm not sure what's going on yet.
They'll eventually get you guys legalized there. It's not going to be long until your parliament goes ahead and legalizes marijuana there. I'm going to play a song. I promised Ed. He hasn't come on yet. I don't know what's going on with him. I'm going to play a song here for us, Billy. Ed's Jamaica. Have you heard Jamaica yet?
Yes, actually, I heard it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play Jamaica. And I'm going to play your song since Ed didn't show up. Ed, where are you? Since Ed didn't show up, we're going to get him on the next show, and he co-hosts with me sometime, too. I'm going to run all of your music, though, Billy, in the network. It's going to be jammed in there, man. I'll give you the address right now in PM. My producer's working on it. And let's just take a little break, and then we'll come back and say goodbye. Let's listen to Ed Roman singing Jamaica, y'all. Stand by, Billy.
All right.
Hit it, producer. Jamaica. Thought I was in Jamaica there for a minute. I tell you, that was Mr. Ed Roman, and he has been to Jamaica and goes to Jamaica, and he loves to teach the children music while he is there walking the streets of Jamaica. And Ed likes to stay out of town. Ed likes to go where the tourists do not travel. And Ed likes to meet the local merchants and the local people, and he likes to get down and dirty with the community as it is behind closed doors. And that's what I like about Ed, and that's what I love about Ed's music. I'm on with Billy Grima tonight. We were supposed to have Ed Roman on. He may show up here in about 3 seconds. If he doesn't, we're going to have to kill this thing. But, yeah, Ed Roman, just unbelievable musician, friend of Billy Grima's. I believe you guys have worked together and know each other, don't you, Billy?
Yeah, we haven't worked together yet. We've talked. We don't live too far from each other, though, but I'd love to do something with him. He's probably about half an hour drive from my place.
Oh, wow. Y'all should get together, man. Ed'll come over and till up your garden for you.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm a farmer too. I used to be a farmer. We grew up on a farm, so I think we can get along really well.
Yeah, Ed loves
to bonfires. I'm like sitting back and relaxing with peace and quiet.
Yeah, that's what we do up here in the mountains. That's how we live up here in the mountains, just like y'all do there. Ed's got us all beat though. Ed's got that big property and lots of room and growing and canning foods, and Ed's cooking every night, gourmet cook. Ed's opened his house up to the homeless to come in and eat with him. He's done a lot of really neat things. And Billy Grima, we are going to be expecting those CDs. I'll put that in music plan. Who's that? Well, you want to put it on? Talking to my producer. We're fiddling with some equipment here, Billy, about one of your songs here. I had to pull them up late. Yeah, play it. What is it? Surprise us. Billy Grima. Here we go.
Calendar Girl. Ooh. My calendar girl,
Calendar Girl, Mr. Billy Rima. Billy, sounds like you've got a little Elton John in you.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
No, I can hear Elton John, man, in there.
This is good to hear. It's always nice to see that when people can hear certain artists in there, especially someone like Elton John. That's amazing. Thank you.
Man, that is cool. And we're not going to get out of here before I do this. Michael Stover, hello. Michael Stover's online here. I see him popping up. I'd bring him in if I could. We're going to play just one of mine, Billy. You haven't heard me yet. And I'm going to play one of mine, and then we're going to back out, and I'm going to tell you goodbye after this song. But I want you to hear me sing a song from a friend of mine, Mickey Gilley, Headache Tomorrow, Heartache Tonight. And here we go. This is Kyler Davenport in studio in Dallas, Texas.
Well, if the whiskey doesn't get me, I know the memories will. Cause you left a hole in my heart, too deep to fit in. But a drink or two, maybe three or four, for a while you're out of sight. It's a headache tomorrow, or a heartache tonight. The sun goes down, the blues come around, and the choice is black and white. I'm so low down and low down. Maybe I'm high as a kite. When you came waiting for Louis James, you know it's just not right. It's a headache tomorrow, or a heartache tonight. No matter which one you choose, you lose. But I know which one I'll take. When that sun comes up tomorrow, something's gonna change. If I can take a pill to kill the pain, well, I know it'll be all right. It's a headache tomorrow, or a heartache tonight. The sun goes down, the blues come around, and the choice is black and white. I'm so low down and lonesome, I'm as high as a kite. When you can't wait for Louisiana, you know it's just not right. It's a headache tomorrow, or a heartache tonight.
goes down, the blues come around, and the choice is black and white. So low down and lonesome, I'm high as a kite. When you can't wait for losing, you know it's just that guy. It's a headache tomorrow, or a heartache tonight.
Headache tomorrow, heartache tonight. Eat your heart out. I'll tell you what, Mickey Gilley, I've been singing that song since I was in your lap at the Debonair Dance Land in Dallas, Texas. Believe it or not, I wasn't actually in your lap, but we did pull some drunks back in the day with Dewey Groom there at the old Top Rail in the Debonair Dance Land. I go back a long way with you old boys. I can't wait to have Mickey on. I've been trying to get Mickey on through a couple of friends of mine, and he hasn't called me yet, but I'm hoping that he will. You like Mickey Gilley, Billy?
Yes.
How do you think I did him any justice on that song?
Sure you did. I think it sounded pretty cool. I like the way it would sound, and actually I really like the fact that I like the melody.
Yeah.
It's catchy. Yes.
Yeah. I kind of tweaked the melody a little bit from the original, but, you know, it's just the way I...
Well, I think when you're playing, it's good to make it your own, bring that creativity. So I like that.
I tweaked it to where it made me feel good when I was standing there with the microphone, you know. Well, I want to thank you, Billy Grimer, for coming on with us tonight, man. You are something else. I tell you, I can't wait to get your songs programmed into the station tomorrow. Well, no, I can't do it tomorrow. I'll have to wait. I'm going to go ahead and grab a few off of your YouTube channel in the meantime and go ahead and start running them in the 24-hour lineup. Our address is in your box right now waiting for you, so you can send me all of the music you want to send, and I will run it 24 hours a day in the lineup all over the world.
I got it right in front of me.
Okay, brother. I appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry Ed didn't make it on. Something must have happened because he was coming. But he'll be on the next show, and I'd like to have you on and him and I'll get you and Ed both on in about 6 or 7 more weeks. Is that cool?
That's perfect with me.
Okay, buddy.
Awesome.
We'll
okay,
see you. We'll see you, and I appreciate you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, remember, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon will come to pass. This is Kyler Davenport on with Billy Grima, and we are out of here. Bye-bye, America.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Billy.
Bye.